Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Sacramento County gave its guidance to its 13 school districts yesterday, though each district is going to have to come up with its reopening plan. There are recommendations, including take the temperatures of students at home every day, and if a temperature reading is over 100.4, the student should stay home. Face coverings should be worn by staff and students. There should be a 6-foot separation in classrooms, fewer students on buses. The recommendation is that schedules should be modified so that not all students should be on campus at the same time. In San Joaquin County, meanwhile, schools are shaping up their plans, waiting for county and state guidelines. Dr. Clark Burke is superintendent of the Manteca Unified School District, and he's joining us by phone. Superintendent Burke, thanks so much for being on Insight today.
Good morning, Beth. Thank you for having me.
Are you expecting similar guidelines as those released by Sacramento County to come from San Joaquin County?
We're constantly planning and reviewing the local guidance. As a state and local organization, we're also planning on returning back to school given the governor's guidance and opening up next year on time and with purpose.
And everybody is waiting for more guidance from the California Department of Public Health on that. Manteca is a city with just under 70,000 people, but the district encompasses more of the area. Will you tell me how many schools, how many students are involved in your district and your planning?
Yeah, thank you. We actually have about 115 square miles that we cover, which is about 32 schools. We have about 25,000 pre-K through adult ed learners, and we are trying to take into account each and every one of their safety and their learning process.
What difference has it made being a smaller district in terms of being able to respond to the COVID-19 crisis?
Well, I think one of the things that we're able to do, and we are actually one of the medium to larger size districts in the state of over 1,000 districts that we have, we've really been able to try and respond to the changing environment that's in place. Obviously, these austere times has really forced us to look at our mission and make sure that it's relevant and understand that it's relevant now more than ever. We've learned a lot and continue to learn a lot from this experience. There's an opportunity for us as a medium-sized district with a medium amount of resources to take a look at public education and transform public education and break down any kind of systemic barriers with this transformational experience. But it's a ship that takes some time to move and readjust. And I'm just very proud of our board and our staff that's been able to respond in such austere conditions.
Will you be more specific about the opportunity in breaking down those barriers? Give me an example for a student or a family or a teacher.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we've learned in this process is as we've transitioned in a very short amount of time, transition from resident learning to distance learning, it's broken down our understandings and expectations of student learning, students who may have been unsuccessful or disenfranchised from a public education organization, has oftentimes found a home and their own groove in order to educate in a remote environment. And just to the opposite, some students who may have been very successful in a resident course may struggle in a distance learning model. But it's breaking down some of those embedded concepts that we've moved on from in over the last millennia.
So does this mean that in the guidance, which came up in Sacramento County and has come up before at the state level, that not all students should be on campus at the same time, that you're going to find and work with students who do better, perhaps, with distance learning and maybe for safety reasons or family reasons need to be at home, and that unlike times in the past, the district's actually going to work with those student needs?
Absolutely. I think one of these things that this is allowing for us to do is take a look at the individual students' needs. We've retooled our responsibilities of our individual employees, looking at individual student needs, recognizing their barriers to learning, whether or not through their, whether it's a cultural barrier, whether it's a technological barrier, whether or not it's a social-emotional barrier. And really what we need to do is get in and understand those individual students, and our responsibility is to help address those individual needs to break down those barriers to learning standards.
I'm talking with the superintendent of the Manteca Unified School District, Dr. Clark Burke. Dr. Burke, you used the word mission a little bit earlier, so that prompts me to ask, are you still an active duty military officer?
I am. I am currently an IMA officer, so I am a reserve officer who belongs to an active duty post, and the experience is one that's not mutually exclusive from working in other government organizations with purpose and trying to make sure that we can mobilize the resources of the district to help support individual students' needs, since they're our mission.
This is something you chose to do after your education, and I guess that you serve as a lieutenant colonel. There must be parallels in that work, and not only leading the school district, but working through the COVID-19 crisis, and we're walking into a budget crisis related to that.
Absolutely. I think it's one of those things when you look to evaluate what your purpose is and you reaffirm your purpose, you reconstitute and reallocate your resources to help meet your objectives. As you do that, it may not have been the pathway that you had planned on originally, but being able to adapt and respond, you know, for whatever institution it is, especially for those as important as our students, we're able to find and respond to their needs and try and make sure that we can meet their goals.
Let me get through a few specifics here. When did schools close in the Manteca District?
You know, fortunately, we actually had in mid-March, we had our spring break. Right at that time was the same time that Governor Newsom issued the statement that we were deemed to be an essential organization. And that really did confirm our belief that public education is an essential service. And with that direction, we were able to reaffirm our board's vision that every student works to achieve grade level standards, feel safe and is supported to realize individual success. And although that the location of instruction changed in order to ensure students and staff safety, we hadn't lost our initiative. So therefore, we were able to evaluate our situation, reconstitute, reallocate resources to provide the continuity of learning to our students with, of course, measured and deliberate steps. And really, it also kind of reaffirmed to us that we had a moral imperative to provide every student access to a robust instructional program aligned to those grade level standards. And we were just very fortunate that we had a dedicated board who never wavered from their commitment to kids and dedicated people who at this time really battled their own personal adversities and through their own personal courage continued to serve kids. So we never gave up. We didn't go home. We continued to provide that service when families needed us the most. That was a big commitment on our district's part.
So other than that spring break, are you saying the schools never really closed?
We did not. We were able to mobilize quickly. We were fortunate. We had resources that were one-to-one devices. We had integrated technology and curriculum. We'd had discussions about what's our base program and how to use that literally days before. We had discussions about strategic planning, which identified individual student needs, so that the moment the location changed, we were able to provide that continuity of learning. Hmm. And in all realism, that it's not 100% perfect, but we're going to continue to learn and improve from that. And that's part
so
of our cycle.
I understand that you have a comprehensive summer program going. The devices are in the hands of the students. There is nutrition provided daily at locations. and partnerships with local church groups. There's a lot happening in your district. On top of that, you spent 2 years creating a balanced budget, and that had to have changed the impact of what you're facing. So could you just give me a bit of context on where you are looking ahead to the start in the fall? What will the picture be?
Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't without the help of the support of the community to be able to continue to provide for our kids. Obviously, we were introducing a program over the summer that is actually aligned to their specific needs. So we're utilizing an assessment program that's aligned to standards to look for any shortfalls and deficiencies that they may have lost due to these turbulent times so that they can start back in fall being completely back up to standard or as best as we can provide for them and or provide feedback to parents so that they can help to remediate any kind of learning over the summer. A balanced budget really starts out with, in our case, being able to respond to the proposed 10% cut and the deferrals. You know, the responsibility really comes to understanding your purpose. We transition from, you know, a zero sum to a needs-based budget concept, which are aligned to students' individual needs. And part of that was the strategic planning that we've been doing over the last 2 years. Money is just a tool. People are the resources, and students are our purpose. So we're able to utilize those resources strategically. It does mean that, and sometimes we may be forced to lean down some of the supplemental programs that we might provide, but without losing our focus on students learning the standards, I think we're able to overcome a lot of the adversity that's happening right now.
And Dr. Burke, in just a few seconds here, is there a start date yet for your school district?
Yes, we're actually looking to return back to school early August, and in which case we haven't planned to postpone that. We're pretty excited by continuing to plan and work with in consult with some of our partners and really try and make sure that we through smart analysis, strategic planning, we're viewing lessons learned and developing, you know, a comprehensive long-term hybrid standards-aligned instructional program in the construct, of course, of CDC and public health guidelines.
All right. Well, good luck to all of you in the Manteca School District. I thank you for your time, and I hope the story continues to go as strongly forward as it has been. Thank you, Dr. Burke.
Thank you so very much. We appreciate it.
That's Dr. Clark Burke, superintendent of the Manteca Unified School District. The Uplift is next. We're going to talk about an event with the UC Davis Mind Institute that now has a bit of a change to the schedule. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.